This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.
You are listening to WQED, Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we have director Rebecca Walls, writer SMJ, and composer Maggie Marie Rogers, all who are working on a new musical, This Old Haunt, which will have its academic premiere at Carnegie Mellon's School of Drama this fall. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, Emily. Thanks for having us.
So, This Old Haunt, what is it all about?
Ooh, good question. This Old Haunt is the story of four former best friends who reunite at their old high school choir teacher's cabin in the woods 10 years after high school. She has left it to them collectively in her will, and they have to come together to figure out what's changed and what comes next for them. And a giant hole opens up in the floor.
A giant hole opens up in the floor. Exciting. That sounds fascinating. And so how did you all meet and decide to write this musical?
Ooh, Maggie, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So Rebecca and I both went to undergrad together and have always collaborated really well together. And SMJ and I met at the O'Neill while they were an apprentice and I was an acting student, and we clicked really well then too. So then right before the pandemic hit, Rebecca and I have been talking about creating some sort of musical, and we were like, okay, is Rebecca gonna write it, or do we want to find someone to help us develop this? And Rebecca was like, let's find someone. And I was like, I have the perfect playwright in mind. I was like, these two are gonna get along so well. And then bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah, SMJ always likes to say that they were the fourth choice.
Yeah,
that's not true.
I mean, I'm famously everyone's fourth choice, you know, so it's not offensive to me.
That's completely false. But yeah, the pandemic started and I started the MFA program in directing at Carnegie Mellon pretty much at the same time. And, you know, there's a really rich history of the directors in the MFA program here doing really director-driven work, generative work. And that's not 100% my thing, but what is my thing is new work development. So I knew pretty much from the beginning of my time here that that's what I wanted to do. And I had this song that Maggie had written and sent me in late 2019, sort of like constantly in the back of my head poking at me. And so pretty much as soon as I got to Pittsburgh, we started talking about it in earnest and added SMJ to the team in the fall of that year.
Wow. Awesome. And did you, when the pandemic all happened, did you mean to start it during the pandemic, or was it you wanted to start it and then the pandemic kind of happened and that was?
Interesting. I feel like we were talking about it beforehand, and it was literally like Maggie sent me the song in November of 2019. And I was like, great, I have to go get married next week and then we'll talk. And then, like, you know, I was working full time at the time at a theater in BC, and we kind of like didn't talk. And then we were alone in our apartments and reinvigorated the conversation then and kind of like continued in a casual way over the summer. So it wasn't like, I would definitely not call this a pandemic project, although the realities of like digital communication and the advancements of it are what have made this possible. And I feel like SMJ, I really love particularly like the way that you as a playwright have used Zoom to your advantage, not only for this project, but all of your other ones. I don't know if you'd want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm always a playwright who's geared on community. My mission statement in life is that we'll get to a point where we can properly credit everybody who is involved in a piece. So, because without my words, y'all can't do your job, but also without everybody else, I can't do my job. And the only way a play gets better is by being read in front of as many people with as many different people as possible. So throughout the pandemic, like, I bought a Zoom Pro account, and I had like, during the early parts, like 2020, as an ambulance goes by in the background, New York City, baby. I would say from like mid 2020 to like mid 2021, I was averaging like 3 Zoom readings a month, whether they be private or whether they be public. And one that makes me a better writer, but it also it keeps us on in community. Like we were able to put people who were, you know, working from Hawaii in communication with people in London, and that's something you just couldn't do. And that's it's the workers that are in New York are drastically different than the theater artists that are working in LA or Chicago or London or Russia or wherever, right? So having many different point of views and philosophies, even digitally, which is not always the greatest thing, but even having that ability was something that changed a lot of my perspective on writing and my perspective as and the themes that I want to talk about.
Community through reaching out to each other on the internet, for sure.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't have thought building a story, especially a musical, mostly digitally, can't talk, would be possible before everything happened. But we had to use what we had as the tools, and it was a great way for us to really discuss and format and brainstorm together as a team.
Yeah. And speaking of brainstorming, Maggie, you wrote the music, and SMJ wrote the lyrics. How did that collaboration, or the book, that's what I meant, how did that collaboration work together?
Yeah, I mean, and SMJ, please interrupt me. We really kind of just to use a really cheesy metaphor, just like paint at the wall, and just said, like, SMJ was like, just write songs and let's see if something sticks, and I'll start writing scene based off of a song, and then we'll talk as a whole team and just build. So I would just like write a bunch of weird random music and send it to them in these like tacky little like recordings from my iPhone. And then one of them that really stuck was this one that's in the piece now called The River, which is like a big group number. And that was kind of, I feel like the Rebecca, maybe, I don't know, like the first starting to form where we want to go with sound and lyrics and story.
Yeah, I think that The River was pretty key. And I mean, things we knew from the beginning were that we wanted this to be about a group of women. That was important. We didn't know exactly how many. And we knew that we wanted it to be about friendship across the years. And it has become about friendship across time and space in a fun sort of way. But so a lot of our early discussions were centered around like discussions of friendships from our pasts and present. And that has resulted in four characters who are not are truly not based on anyone from real life at this point, but like there's a lot of SMJ, there's a lot of like there's elements of familiar people for, I'd like to think, everyone in there. SMJ, did you have anything you wanted to add to the
I would say a common theme for me that stuck out in the music is this like desperate need for a connection of someone else, right? In this longing to be through the hard part of grief. I think COVID put us all in an interesting status where like everybody is going through the grief of something. I lost my dad right before the shutdown. When you're like left alone, like you're grieving the fact that it's not just social time with people, it's like you're losing friends. They're not physically dying, but emotionally and spiritually you're losing that connection to people. A lot for me, my 10-year anniversary of my high school just passed and none of my high school friends went, including myself. So you're grieving like the loss of mentors, you're grieving the loss of like all these people who used to be this giant hole in your life. And what happens, the central question for me as a writer is like, what happens if you had three friends that you were super connected to and you still are super connected to, but through text, which is very different than like actively seeing them? Like what happens when you're confronted with the possibility that you have to be stuck in the same house with them for more than just a day? because now you own that house together. Now you have to negotiate who owns the grief of this, who owns the memories of this person that's passed that you all share a connection with. So yeah, then the music was the big catalyst of that. The River, I think, is also a very sad song. It's not sad. To me, it's a sad song, but and that was the core thing that I like latched onto in the music, and that's what made the book happen.
And then, like, we've been, you know, as the three of us, and then with our other collaborator Annabelle, who's been notating all the music and bringing it to become more fuller than just me plunking it at a guitar and garage band or piano, just trying to find the balance of the naturalistic style of SMJ's writing mixed with, like, I feel like me trying to be naturalistic and nostalgic in the lyrics. And we've been discovering like a nice flow of how the worlds of lyric and story come together with dialogue and making it kind of flow seamlessly into one another. Yeah,
I think a key choice that SMJ made in terms of the book very early on was that The River was a song that was written for the characters by this choir teacher. And so, like, from there, we were able to discover, like, what their relationship with music is like, literally, diegetically, in terms of how it relates to this choir teacher, and then also, like, how they express themselves through music in less formal ways. And so, like, if you see the show, you'll see that the structure is not like a traditional musical. It's not like we come out and there's, like, a big opening number and then an I Want song and blah, blah, blah. Like, we have an opening number, but then there's no music for a little while. And then once The River hits, which is about an hour into the runtime, the music kind of just doesn't stop. And so, like, overall, it's like an hour and 45-ish minutes long, and the last 45 minutes are primarily singing. So it's really interesting, just like the crossed paths of that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the music I would describe as kind of like reflective singer-songwriter kind of type music, right? Yeah, yeah, which is kind of cool. And definitely goes with the building of friendship and community that you've been talking about. And as well as, like, we're kind of set in the present, right? We're not really set in any other timeline. So that helps as well.
Yes, it is. It is the action primarily takes place in 2022.
Primarily. Ooh.
Yes.
Awesome. And so you guys did a workshop, a workshop stage reading of this musical this past summer at Fort Salem Theater. And how was that experience? And then did anything change from then until now?
Oh, yeah.
Lots.
SMJ can attest to that.
Yeah, so much has changed in the 5, 6, 7 how many ever days we were there. The book started at like 110 pages, somewhere in that range, and then by the end of the week it was like 96 pages, and all of those pages, I counted, there was only 2 pages in the entire book that didn't have any changes.
Wow.
Most of it was completely rewritten in some way. Not like there were some giant scene changes, and there were some giant scene changes in the 2 weeks we were at Carnegie Mellon. Like, of the 98 page book that we started the process with, like, we edited the whole thing. Like, I edited it twice.
Wow.
Through with Juju, our dramaturg, and, you know, daily meetings between the two of us, and also at the table with the cast that was there talking through, even if they were like little things, and they could be big things, like giant arcs of characters to, like, hey, can we reword this line? Like, everything in between was on the table. So yeah, lots of changes, lots of things changed, and they will change after this production, I am certain.
Yeah. I think the workshop was particularly great too, because not only was it the first time that the three of us were working on it in person together, because, like, fun fact, SMJ and I did not meet each other in the physical space until January of this year.
Wow.
2022! but also, like, during this workshop, we were lucky enough, Fort Salem Theater really, like, set us up. We were all living together with the cast and the dramaturg and the music director on this like super cool farm in upstate New York. And so, you know, we had like communal meals and all that stuff. It was really, really nice, but also gave us the opportunity to like, one of my favorite memories from that week was sitting out on the porch with you, Maggie, that one night and like totally reworking the song Slow Burn and like how it suddenly became our favorite song when it had been like the most baffling song before that point.
Yeah, that was like those moments like that. That's when you're like, ah, in-person collaboration is so crucial and special. And it was just such a lovely time to be together in this weird little cabin in the woods that fit perfectly with the world of our story. And I felt really inspired a lot. Like I rewrote a lot of music, or like I listened to Juju the dramaturg gave a lot of really great advice, and Rebecca was so on point with just sharpening little moments here. So when like we rewrote Slow Burn, it was just such an important step into, oh, this is where the sound is going and where it can go and how the music and lyrics can have little ins and outs of surprises where you think it's going to go somewhere, but then it actually goes somewhere else when you're listening. So
that's cool. So very much like you guys went to Fort Salem and kind of immersed yourself in the character's world almost, and that really helped as well with the general. Yeah
totally.
That's really cool. And so then from there, after Fort Salem, how did you decide, okay, we're going to do it at CMU?
Yeah, so with the way that CMU's season planning works, we actually have to pitch shows. The directors have to pitch shows almost a year in advance. So since we've been working on this since fall of 2020, by fall of 2021, around this time last year, we had a draft of the script, like the seventh draft or something like that, and solid drafts of most of the songs at that point. I think Saturn's Return is the only one that like didn't exist yet at this time last year in any way, shape, or form, which is the closing number. And we had some orchestrated demos with like little, you know, software instruments that our composer Annabelle, who lives in the UK, had created for us. So we had like a really solid package to submit for this like season planning committee. And they said yes. So we knew we were going to be doing it. And by that point, we knew we were going to do the workshop. We had that arranged already. And so I think that was like all an effective part of the pitch to do it here at CMU, that like, here's this thing that we've made. We know where we're headed. We've got this great development opportunity lined up. Let's do it.
Yeah. very exciting. And definitely like happened very fast, but also not very fast at the same time, because here we are a year later.
Yeah. And in 3 weeks, it'll be on stage.
Yeah. Woo. Speaking of being on a stage, how is it working with all the designers and finally being able to fully realize this play? I mean, a staged reading is one thing, getting to work with the dialogue and the text, but actually having a premiere is something entirely different.
Yeah, it is. It's been fabulous. The designers here everyone here at CMU is so talented. One of my like great joys of my time here at CMU has been really learning how to collaborate with designers effectively. And that was actually like another thing that we were interested in when we were like conceiving of this play, was like, well, we also want to make something that is going to like present the opportunity for really exciting design, because we knew we have these awesome people to work with. And yeah, they've all really risen to the occasion. Like they were originally given that like draft seven of the script and songs, which were strong, of course, but like is, you know, fundamentally different than what we're working with now. And they've all been so great at like rolling with the changes and like really so generous about like as each new iteration of a scene or a song arrives, like responding with curiosity and excitement as they see the characters in the story become like deeper and more layered and more nuanced. It's been entirely met with excitement, which is really, really wonderful. And I'm really excited about how it's going to look. I think it's going to be absolutely stunning.
Yay! Oh, I'm very excited to see it as well. So the whole point of this play is kind of like friendship, losing a friend, rekindling old friendships, as you said, mentors, how do we deal with grief? And that's a lot to unpack. So what do you want the audience to kind of experience in your musical and kind of walk away with? All of the above? Little short condensed?
Yeah, I bet we each have a slightly different answer to that. So I'm happy to start, but
go ahead.
I think that I hope that after you see this play, you'll feel inspired to pick up the phone and call someone you haven't spoken to in a while, you know, rather than just like that little WhatsApp group text that doesn't mean much, right? That means something, but is different than like a long phone call. So that's one thing I hope.
SMJ, you want to try?
I'm not a call to action girl, you know. I'm not sure that my writing is very like I'm going to illuminate. I hope to illuminate the things that we bury deep down within ourselves, just to acknowledge them. What you do with that, I don't know. I think we have a tendency to sort of make a joke out of grief, and I do it myself in terms of like finding a way to run away from it. And what is it like to actually sit in that and to actually like, and something we talked a lot about at the table and even beyond is how can we say certain things to our friends that we view that we wouldn't dare say to anybody else, whether they be mean or hurtful or even harmful, even though we know that it could harm someone else. And I think just acknowledging that grief takes us to a place that we can't predict until we're there. And what happens when you are at the beginning stages of being there? Wow, that makes it sound like the show is super ominous. It's not, but I think that there's points in the show where you're going to tap into your own stuff and be like, ah, maybe I wasn't the best person, friend, partner, whatever. And this is just a highlight of like that you're not the only one that does that. But what you choose to do with that post the play, I think the ending also gives us that feeling. It's like what you do from this point forward is your option. I don't know what will happen. How I handle grief is drastically different than my fiance is. But like just illuminating for yourself so you acknowledge it. I'm all about acknowledging things rather than running from things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also like when I think of the story, I just think of like soil, like the idea of soil and the ground and a foundation. And I really personally am drawn to stories that take a lens, like zooms into very small moments in life that seem very tiny and not significant, but they actually are. And I think the story really highlights those moments of, you know, like things that you might just normally skip past, but then you look back and you reflect and you're like, actually, this is integral for my growth. So I mean, I hope it's relatable and I hope people enjoy it and I hope they hear through words and melody, you know, that they're taken somewhere and they feel it and they hear it and they see it in themselves and they can relate. Yeah. It's all, there's one of the lyrics and it goes, it's all a phase. And that I'd say with any point in your life, and I always hear that in my head for some reason, like it's weird when you live your normal life and then you hear things that you wrote with your team and you're like, oh my gosh, this is relatable in ways I didn't expect it to be. So I hope, you know, people enjoy it.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. Is there anything else you three would like to discuss today?
We're just really excited to be sharing the story with a larger audience.
Yeah.
Starting here, you know, the workshop was great and we were really, really, I think, humbled by the way that people responded to it up there across generations, which is something else that I think is really important. This play is about the cycles of life and finding yourself like at the brink of the next cycle, whether you're ready or not. We talk a lot about the concept of Saturn's return, where every 30 years, Saturn returns to the place it was in the sky when you were born, and like the wonderful signifier that that is for a new cycle. And I think that that's the thing that we just hope people will reflect on, the joy and also inherent loss of that.
Well, Rebecca, SMJ, Maggie, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, Emily.
Thanks,
Emily.
The new musical, This Old Haunt, is directed by Rebecca Walls, with the book written by SMJ, lyrics and music written by Maggie Marie Rogers, with additional music and orchestration by Annabelle Lee Ruvak. Its academic premiere will be at Carnegie Mellon University's Philip Chosky Theater, Saturday, November 19th at 2 p.m. This show runs until Wednesday, November 30th, so you have plenty of time to see it. For more information and tickets, visit drama.cmu.edu/boxoffice. This is WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast.
This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.